decision to make when you're this age. I'm resolved to follow the Savior. No sense in waiting until later. Might as well make up your mind to do it now. And then by God's grace, see it through. Wonderful song tonight. Let's stay in the book of Acts, okay? So we're going to go to chapter 4. We were in chapter 20 this morning. And I'm not reading in the book of Acts right now for Bible reading and devotions, but it was drawn. My attention was drawn there to a couple of passages as I prayed about the Lord's will for today's messages. We were in Acts chapter 20 this morning, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 4 tonight. And I'll give you a second to find that and locate verse number 23. Verse number 23, and if you did that, you're able to stand. Join me together in honor of God's Word. Beginning with verse 23, the Bible says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who, by the mouth of Thy servant David, hast said, Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." And I want to speak tonight on prayer that shakes a place. Prayer that shakes a place. Father, meet with us tonight. You helped us this morning. We sensed Your presence in the service, but that was some hours ago. We need a fresh anointing tonight, some fresh help for both speaker and listener, so that, Lord, hopefully You'll be able to do Your work in our hearts that You want to be done. So, Father, be with us tonight. We'll be honored to have You bless this time. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. Pastor Mike Ray and Pastor Keith Gomez come from the same church down in Louisiana, Baton Rouge Central Baptist Church. Brother Ray, both of those men have spoken here over the years. And Brother Ray pastors out in Napa, California, and of course, Brother Gomez up here in Elgin. And back in 1989, Brother Ray asked Brother Gomez to come out and preach for a special meeting at his church. And he was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think through Wednesday night. On Tuesday morning, he and Brother Ray got in the car there in Napa, and they drove down to Santa Clara to visit Pastor Jack Treiber, a friend of both of theirs. I think they might have had lunch together or something. And then they got in their car and made their way back to Napa. And Brother Gomez, Carla was living at the time, and they went to the motel to get some rest and for the evening service. And while they were laying there in the bed trying to get some rest, all of a sudden they felt the bed began to shake. And Brother Gomez did what they tell you not to do. He got up and he went to the motel window. They were on the third or fourth floor there in Napa. And he looked out and he saw the telephone wires like a jump rope, up and down, and the sidewalks just buckling, and realized that they were in an earthquake. And it was the earthquake that took place on October 17th during the World Series between the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants. And they had played the first two games in Oakland, and the third game of the series was to take place on that Tuesday night. The interstates out there are stacked on top of each other for sake of space. And the interstate that they had driven to and from Santa Clara, from Napa to Santa Clara, that interstate, the one that they had driven on, actually collapsed. Those decks collapsed on top of each other. And, of course, thankfully, they were not in that place when the earthquake hit. Now, Brother Gomez talks about it being an unusual, unique experience. I have never been in an earthquake of great magnitude. Some years ago, I remember being in the night, you know, and I was awakened at night. We have a bathroom off of the master bedroom there on the second floor. And there is a laundry chute that goes all the way from the bathroom down to the basement where the washer and dryer are located. And there's a little metal door on that chute. And I was awakened because that door was clanging. Bang, 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 bang. And I thought, what is it doing that for in the middle of the night? And I felt a vibration, if you will, in the bed. And I woke my wife up and it was a little bit of a rumble. And I said, Joyce, we just had an earthquake. And she said, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep. That's what she said. And she'd been wrong a lot of times. And I'm just teasing. But anyway, so she said, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep. And so I did. I woke up that morning and was going about the day. I was listening to the Chicago radio station, WBBM, at some point in time. And they were talking about an earthquake that had happened down in Missouri. And that the effects of that earthquake, or southern Illinois, Missouri area, were felt all the way up near Chicago. I was right. But it wasn't a serious thing. It was very mild, just an extremely mild earthquake. Now, when you get to Acts chapter 4, the disciples were not in an earthquake, so to speak, but they were in a place that was shaken. And the place was shaken because God shook it. God shook it. The shaking was His answer to their prayer. You see it in verse number 31. We read it a moment ago. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. So this shaken place was the result of their prayer. It would be interesting to know what their prayer was. You know, it would be kind of like, you know, leaving church one Sunday, and when you get around your friends that Monday or Tuesday, and your friends ask, hey, how was your services yesterday? You could say something like, well, it was a wonderful thing, man. God shook our service. God moved in our service, and it was great. So I was again thinking about this passage this week, and I think you'll understand why as we get to the message. What happened that God moved in such a way in this service? In order to answer that question, we need to look tonight at three aspects of their prayer. I'll give it to you. First of all, I want us to look at before their prayer. Before their prayer. In Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 1 with me, all the way back at the beginning of the chapter. The Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the disciples, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So before the prayer, the disciples faced some very strong persecution. There was a great disturbance all over Jerusalem. And this disturbance was because of the healing of the man who sat at the gate beautiful at the temple. You remember the story. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3. In the presence of many, many people there going to and from the temple. They go to the beautiful gate of the temple. And there's a man laying there and he's saying, alms, alms. He's requesting alms. And you remember what Simon Peter said? He fastened his eyes on him and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And then I want to tell you something, man. Here this man got healed and he stood to his feet. And this created an unbelievable stir, a huge stir. People saw this man walking around with his friends. Look at verse 14. And they said here, beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. How could you be critical of that miracle when the man who was not able to walk is now standing with other people? And by the way, I was thinking about it, how many people had passed by that man, given him alms that never truly did anything to change his condition. And people, you can't gift people with enough money to help them with their greatest need. Their greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come by way of money. What money could not do for this man, Jesus Christ did. Jesus changed his life. Jesus changed his condition. You know what? You and I may not have been lame. We may not have been laying beside the church door requesting alms, but a wonderful change took place in our life when Jesus Christ passed by. He fixes your condition. In verse number 16, they talk about the fact that a notable miracle hath been done here. It was hard to deny it. So there was this great disturbance going on in Jerusalem because of this man's healing. And the authorities of the Jewish religion, they really came down on the disciples. In verse number 3 in chapter 4, the Bible tells us that they laid hands on them. In verse number 3, it tells us that they put them, if you will, in a lockup situation. They put them in hold. Look at verse 17. It had brought them together, and the Bible says that they threatened them. And verse number 21, they further threatened them. So, what am I saying? I'm saying before their prayer, they were threatened. These disciples were not found in favor of those in their community. In fact, they were perceived as the problem in the community. And church, in some ways, in the eyes of certain people in our world today, the followers of Jesus Christ are still perceived as the problem in society. The problem is not the dope heads. The problem is not the drunk, the alcohol pushers. The problem is not the gangbangers. The real problem in our country is you followers of Jesus Christ. You know that to be true. Many of the liberal, radical Hollywood personalities who speak out on matters of critical importance, and aren't they real authorities on matters of critical importance? Just because they got a few... How would you like to spend your life acting like somebody you're not? And make millions of dollars for it. And they speak out on all these important matters, matters that are critical to our well-being as a country. And often they have identified you and me as the problem in the USA. The Christians are the problem. Can I remind us tonight, church, that in John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus, talking to His disciples, said, "Because ye are not of the world." Do you hear that statement? Because you're not of the world. And people, when we got saved, we were left in the world to be a witness to the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. I've called you. I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. And you know that Jesus went on to say, before the world hated you, it hated me. Should we expect any different treatment than that Jesus told us to expect? We shouldn't expect any different treatment. I saw this years ago, before it became so prevalent. You can read it now in books written by these liberal writers and hear these liberal people talk. From these universities especially. And we are the problem. We're the trouble with society. The problem is they can't advance their agenda because of the followers of Jesus Christ like they would like to. But I was in line. I think it was back in the days when Brother Don was still here, and I was on a senior trip, and we had gone out to Cedar Point out in Ohio at the amusement park there. We were standing in line for some of those rides, and we were going through the queues, and I noticed this young man, probably 16, 17 years of age. He's wearing a T-shirt, and on his T-shirt it had the picture of a fella on a pogo stick jumping up and down. You remember the old pogo sticks? Had the little feet there. You jump up and down on those things with the big spring at the bottom. And on the shirt, there was this figure of a fella jumping up and down on a pogo stick. And the word underneath it, there was a word, the word Christian was underneath the pogo stick. And the saying on the T-shirt was pogo on a, and then the word Christian at the bottom. Now I saw that. That's got to be 15 years ago. Maybe 20 years ago. Pogo on a Christian. Here is a teenage young man at an amusement park wearing a shirt promoting taking a pogo stick and jumping up and down on a Christian. And people, I want to tell you something. That's not unusual. The problem perceived by many people in our day and age is not the gangbanger. It's not the drunkard. It's not the dope runner. It is the Christian. These people were under severe persecution because they were followers of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what was going on before their prayer. Before their prayer, they were under persecution. Now, the second thing I want to point out tonight is their prayer. Their prayer, and this is the longest part of the message, because I got to give it to you in three parts, okay? Look at their prayer beginning in verse number 24. They got together in verse number 23. They were let go. They were threatened and further threatened. And then they went back and went with their own company, okay? And then the Bible says in verse number 24, we have the introduction to their prayer. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So the disciples are telling all the other folks, the other followers of Christ, about how they've been threatened. Okay? And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You know what they did at the very beginning of their prayer? They recognized God's sovereignty. They were under persecution. They were being called the problem with the stir in Jerusalem. But when they went to prayer, people, the very first thing they did was recognize that no matter what is going on planet Earth, the God of heaven is still ruling and reigning in this world. And they addressed Him that way. The God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And I believe what they were saying in their prayer is, God, we don't understand all of this persecution. We don't understand all of these accusations that are being made. We don't really enjoy being called the problem with the stir in Jerusalem. But God, we know that You have not abdicated Your throne. You've not capitulated to anybody. You are ruling and You are reigning. And people, I say to you and me, in all that's happening right now in America and around the world, you and I need to always remember that God is sovereign. None of this has taken Him by surprise. Now, He didn't wake up some morning and say, oh my, Gabriel, what happened on planet Earth? He's not abdicated His throne. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, this might just all be part of His great sovereign plan. And brother, I want to tell you something. I can't change that. You can't change that. They don't make a human being that can change the sovereign plan of God Almighty. They recognized His sovereignty as God and Lord and ruler in the earth. That was their introduction to the prayer. And then look at verses 25 and 26 as they began to make their prayer. This is what they realized. They said now in verse 25, who by the mouth of Thy servant David, now stick with me here, hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You know what, folks, as they began praying and they recognized God's sovereignty, you know what they realized? They realized, God, what's happening right now is not new. In fact, what we are experiencing is what David talked about. Now, hold your finger here in Acts chapter 4, and let's go all the way back to Psalm 2. The second Psalm. Everybody's familiar with Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and so forth. But they are not quoting from Psalm 1. They are quoting from Psalm 2. So look at Psalm 2, and look with me, if you would, please, at verse number 1. This is a Psalm of David. David says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? If you held your place in Acts chapter 4, turn back to verse number 25. Who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Flip back to Psalm 2 and look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Now watch this. And against His anointed. Against the Lord. Against Jehovah God. And against His anointed. Who is His anointed? Who is that anointed one? Turn back to Acts chapter 4 and look with me again at verse number 26. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. The anointed of the Lord God Almighty is Jesus Christ. These disciples have gone to prayer. They've recognized the sovereignty of Almighty God, who is still ruling and reigning upon His throne. He's not abdicated it. They don't enjoy what's going on in the city of Jerusalem at this time, but they know He is in control. And God, the truth of the matter is, this is not new. This is something that You gave us in Your Word many, many years ago through Your servant David, who talked about the kings and the rulers of the earth coming together and counseling together against God. And God, now we get it. Now we understand what David was speaking about. Look at verse number 27. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. What are they talking about, folks? They're talking about the crucifixion. They're talking about when Jesus went before Pilate. At the time of this happening here in Acts chapter 4, they are not that far removed from the crucifixion. God, now we see it. We see it. The kings and the rulers and the those in power on earth have come together and counseled and thought together, and they've moved against You and against Your Son Jesus, and Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel came against Jesus, came against Your anointed. We've seen that. Look at verse 28. For to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. People, when the kings and the rulers, Pontius Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and the Jews got together to figure out what they could do against Jesus Christ, they weren't doing what they conjured up. They were doing what the sovereign God of eternity had planned before the world was created. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was in the mind and heart and plan of God from eternity past. And it looked like chaos on earth. It looked like trouble to these disciples. They were being persecuted. They were being accused. They were being accused of causing the uproar. And that Jesus had just been crucified. They went to prayer. They recognized God's sovereignty. They remembered that what David had written in the Old Testament. And they're in prayer. Basically, you know what they're saying as they pray? Sure, God. We see it now. The crucifixion of Jesus was predetermined before the creation of the world. That was Your plan. And ladies and gentlemen, it was God's plan. And do you understand that God moved everything that had to be moved to get His Son Jesus to the cross of Calvary? And you and I ought to be grateful tonight that our Heavenly Father moved everything that He had to move to get His Son Jesus to that cross. Because if Jesus had not gone to that cross, there would be no salvation. There would be no sins forgiven. There would be no escape from hell. None whatsoever. You know, when Jesus died, He died in the form of a man. He didn't die for the angelic creation. Do you understand that those angels who've rebelled against God have no hope? No hope. No hope. Because Jesus did not take upon Himself the form of an angel. He took upon Himself the form of a man, the form of a human being, made in the image, if you will, of Adam. And He bore in His own body our sins to the cross. Why did He do that? He did that because that was in the plan of God. And God moved everything that He had to move according to His plan. Why did He do that? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is their prayer. This is their prayer. We may not like it, God. A few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we didn't like all that was going on with Your Son. But now we get it. Now we see it. We understand what David was talking about. Now people, this is their prayer. You know what they are not doing in their prayer? They are not whining. They are not complaining. They are not crying, oh, woe is us. Everybody's being so mean to us. Everybody's taking it shots at us. They're not doing that. They're saying, God, this is something that has been going on before now. It may be new to us, but it is not new to you and your followers. Through time, kings and rulers and Jews and Gentiles and others have risen up against God and against Jesus and against their followers. I'm reading a book right now, given to me by a good brother in the church. It's a tough book. It's written by a Jewish man, well-known Jewish author. And I want to tell you something. He just outlines it. The war that's going on in our country now and has been going on is against freedom of religion. It is against the First Amendment to our Constitution. And folks, we are the enemy. We are the enemy. And I say to you and me tonight, God help us in this day not to complain and whine and cry about any ugliness that comes our way, any ugliness that's sent our direction. Let's recognize what these men recognized. You know what, God? This has been going on down through time. People have risen up against people that follow you and follow your son Jesus. So much so that they put your son on the cross. But it was all according to your great plan. I don't enjoy what's going on right now. It grieves me. I'm sure it grieves you. But folks, I am not, by the grace of God, going to take a whining, complaining, oh, woe is me attitude. God is sitting on the throne. He's ruling. He's reigning. This is moving right along according to His plan. Now, that's what they recognized. Look at the end of their prayer. Look at verse number 29. So now they have said this to God. Okay? By the way, up to this point in their prayer, they haven't asked for anything. Do you know, folks, it's possible to pray without asking for something? Most of us should do a better job at it. Most of our prayer is, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Help me, help me. They haven't said anything in the way of a petition yet until you get down to verse number 29. Look at it. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy Holy Child Jesus. They're praying. They've recognized God's sovereignty, His great plan. They say, Lord, in light of the threatenings, in light of their hatred, in light of their work to silence us, we're going to sit over in the corner as a church and not do anything. We're going to cancel church because we don't want any trouble. We don't want to bring any attention to our churches. That's not what they asked for. They said, God, grant us all boldness to preach thy word. They did not make plans to hide in the corner. They made no plans to run. Their intention was to keep speaking up for Jesus in spite of the threatenings, in spite of the accusations, in spite of the stir, in spite of the trouble, in spite of being blamed for everything. Lord, we sure want to speak your name with all boldness. That was their petition. And in verse number 30, they said, Lord, we'd love for you to do great works, signs and wonders by thy power, by the power of Christ. Now listen, you know this to be true. The days of signs and wonders are over as far as the apostolic signs and wonders. But church, the days of great things happening by the power of Christ are not over. People will be saved during the tribulation period. And that takes a work of Christ. That takes the power of Christ. If people are going to be saved during the tribulation period, then people can still be saved now. Still be saved now. No, sir, there are a couple of requirements here to see the power of Christ at work. First of all, you got to have a people who want to see it. They wanted to see it. People, they were not satisfied just to meet and have a service. They wanted to see God move. God, do something. Do something. Their prayer was not, Lord, just let us get together and shake a few hands and sing a few songs and enjoy some fellowship and get back out there to face the old cruel world again. That was not their prayer. Their prayer was, oh God, do something. They were people who wanted to see it, and they were a people who were willing to speak up for Jesus Christ. God, if you will give us your power, if you'll anoint us, if you'll bless us, if you'll touch us, we'll speak your name with all boldness. And people, this is not the day for the church to sit down. This is not the day for you and me and all of us to hide in the corner and whine and complain about the false accusations and we're the problem with society and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. This is a time for a church to seek to God, for God to do something. Do something. You know, if you were here Wednesday night, Brother Netterville told about his he came over, Scott's just been so, he's been eaten up. Been parked back here in his trailer, you know, and churches canceling the meetings and so forth. And I could just see it wearing on him, wearing on him. One day he came in and he said, Pastor, maybe you and I should talk about some possibilities for our ministry, what we could do differently. And we talked for a little bit. Never really decided anything. And a couple weeks ago he came back in and he said, you know, he said, I was at the church one time in Mississippi that had a Bible handout. Free Bibles. Got a big sign, put it in the back of the pickup truck. I think it was a sandwich board down there. Free Bibles. Pulled in a parking lot and just set up and handed out free Bibles. And people pulled in and got a Bible and had a chance to witness. I said, no. He said, yeah. People pulled in and got a Bible. He said, man, I'd love to do something like that where I go to minister in churches. And I said, Scott, if you want to do something like that, why wait till you go minister in a church? Let's do it here. And we began to talk, he began to look, and he came back with these New Testaments that cost 68 cents a piece, and here are these Bibles that are $7 a piece. And then the next day he came back, he was all excited. He said, Pastor, the church down in such church, I forget the name of the church, gave us 100 of these Bibles. They're in those boxes back there. Gave us 100 of those Bibles. And Scott put some PVC in the back of his truck and had a great big old banner made, Free Bibles. And this past Tuesday night, he and Brother Mike and Brother Allen went over there to the Five Below parking lot and pulled up and put that banner up, Free Bibles, Tuesday night. And in 15 minutes, they had their first car pull in. In an hour's time, they gave out 10 Bibles. All walks of life. They had some people that were obviously of low income pull up. They gave Bibles to them. They had this man pull up, this young adult man pull up in a brand new Mustang. Lives over here in Braidwood. He said, I don't have a Bible. I'd like to have a Bible. I need a Bible. Brand new Mustang. Gave him a Bible. Had a man pull up in a brand new pickup truck, rolled the back window down where his 11 and 14-year-old daughters were sitting. And he said, my daughters would like a Bible. And another carload pulled up before the night was over. They'd given out 10 Bibles and had 3 salvations over there in that parking lot. That was on Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, he gave the testimony. And after we talked about it, he said, I guess I'm going to get on the phone and try to raise some money. So Wednesday, he was on the phone calling pastors and friends of his and saying, this is what I'd like to do. And the New Testaments cost 68 cents each. On Thursday morning, I was in the office and I had a question for him. I forget what the question was. And so I called him and he said, Preacher, he said, I'm at Lowe's because we don't go to Menards anymore because Menards has lost their mind. Amen. Good. I just wanted to put that plug in. All right. And so he said, I'm over here at Lowe's. And he said, his voice is choking up with emotion. He said, I got to come see you. I got to come see you. And so he came over and he said, you won't believe what happened. Give me the office. He said, you won't believe what happened. He said, one of the churches that I called yesterday and asked them if they could take an offering for our New Testament project. And I wanted to order 20,000 New Testaments, 68 cents a piece. He said, the pastor got with his men. This is at the church in Mississippi where he first saw it. And the person that was doing it there has moved on. And the pastor said, you know, to his men, he said, you know, fellas, he said, we don't do that anymore here. Maybe we should give Brother Scott a couple $1,000s. We know Scott. We know his testimony. Let's give him a couple $1,000s. What do y'all think? And one man said, why don't we just pay for it all? And another man said, yeah, let's just pay for it all. That big old burly boy, Brother Scott, began to weep over there in my office. He said, Pastor, I got a call while I was in Lowe's over there just before you called. And I'm standing in the aisle at Lowe's, tears running down my cheeks, and need some help. But anyway, I don't know. He said, yeah, I just came from Menards. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, he said, he called, said, we got a check on the way. $13,600 we're paying for all 20,000 New Testaments. God's not done. God, are you listening tonight? God's not done. It's not time for the church to crawl up in a corner and say, oh, whoa. Oh, no, look. Everybody hates us. Everybody says we're the problem in society. Oh, no, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we need to do, folks. We need to realize that God's hand still stretches out strong, but only for those who desire it. Are we satisfied with what God's hand has accomplished in the past? Or are we hungry to see God work, to see His hand accomplish something in the present? He is not done. And with these disciples, could our church just pray tonight, oh God, grant us the boldness to speak. And when we speak, please work in power. What's your desire? Look, I love having a church service like we had this morning. God was here. God was speaking to hearts. There was unity. There was a good spirit. I love to see that. But folks, I want to see God move. Move. There's no retreat here. No retreat. We got some gray hairs now that 30 years ago we were in our 30s. But you look around, there's a lot of young couples here. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of fresh legs. And it is possible for us to see God move, as He did in years past, to see God do something in this day and age. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. God, grant us the boldness to keep going forward, not sit in the corner and whine and complain. That was their prayer. Before their prayer, they were being persecuted. Before their prayer, they were being accused. Before their prayer, they were being threatened. And then their prayer recognized the sovereignty of Almighty God. And Lord, we understand all this now. And we saw the hatred and the vitriol against You and Your Son Jesus when they put Him on the cross. But we understand it was more than just their plan. It was Your plan from eternity past. You did what You wanted to do. And God, we don't want to crawl up in the corner and cry like a bunch of babies. Grant us Your power. Grant us Your power now, last. How about after their prayer? After their prayer is verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And I don't know about you, but this phrase right here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God with boldness. You know, their prayer must have pleased God. Their prayer must have honored Him because He answered and He gave them their request. They asked for all boldness and God granted them boldness and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they spake with boldness. And by the way, just a little add-on to the message this morning, all of this took place at the assembly. The place shook. You know, there may have been members who were not at the assembly at that particular time. They were a part of the church, but they'd never experienced the shaking because they were not there. I wouldn't miss church, folks. You just never know when God might show up and shake a place. I don't know about you, but I love the spirit of their prayer and how God responded. And can I say this tonight, church? There was not any vindictiveness in their heart. It would be real easy. We'll show you, stinking world. Wouldn't it be easy? It's easy to get hateful in response to the hate. Come on now. But I don't see that here. We'll meet in spite of all your mandates. We'll do it because you hate God. That was not their spirit. Theirs was a spirit of wanting to see God move, to see God's hand work for the salvation of those that were threatening them, for the cause of Christ. And church, this is why I've been asked, Pastor, why aren't we taking a chance by running the buses? Aren't we taking a chance with Vacation Bible School? Look, folks, I can't ask for any other church, okay? And different men, Brother Graham, Brother Schweitzer, they're in different places. I'm not going to throw rocks or stones at any other Baptist pastor right now doing what he thinks God's telling him to do. But for us here, this is why we are going forward. This is why we're knocking doors, and this is why we're having VBS, and this is why we're running the buses, and this is why we're having quarantine camp, and this is why we're opening Faith Baptist Academy in a few weeks, and why we're planning a missions conference. It's not to stick it in the world's eye. It's not to stick it to Governor Pritzker. No, we have a greater motivation than that, to continue serving a God whose hand can still move. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. Oh, that we might have boldness to speak for Him. To be a witness for Him. Boldness on Tuesday to knock on that door in the midst of all this and say, look, are you doing okay? We're just in the neighborhood through all of this virus. Are you all right? And by the way, this is a time of uncertainty. And here, we know there's certainty in God's Word. Come on and visit us at the church. Look, I don't look for God to physically shake the building. He could. But I don't look for Him to do that. The days of those things, the apostolic sign gifts and the wonders like that, were all because we didn't have a completed Bible. Now we got a completed Bible. And we don't, God doesn't move like that now. But I do believe with all of my heart that God would take a bunch of people who aren't whining and complaining and who want to see the power of Christ at work, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. I still believe God can do that. And if that is the case, why not you? And why not me? If that is the case, why not us? Why not us? Let's get over the martyr syndrome. Let's get over the, I'm being persecuted and we're being threatened and we're told this and sitting in the corner and crying. Let's get over that. Let's step out by faith. Let's have a heart that wants to see God's hand move. God's hand move in power. Look, I'm going to be very transparent with you. I told you this morning, Joyce and I are, Lord willing, heading out unless I get a call tonight from the pastor in Ohio. We're headed out. I preached in Dubuque last Monday and Tuesday. And then it's Mansfield, Ohio this Monday and Tuesday. And Owensboro, Kentucky on Thursday night. And I'll be honest with you, I have enjoyed being home. I hadn't traveled anywhere since March 12 and 13, 13 and 14. I've loved it. I've loved it. I love just being at home, being here. But for some reason, God has put this within the parameters of the ministry that He's given me. And I got out last week for the first time in forever and preached a meeting and hungry hearts and stirred hearts. On Monday night, we had a tremendous service. Brother Woodward preached the house of fire. He and I hadn't preached together in so long. On Tuesday morning, the pastor picked us up for breakfast and took us to a breakfast. The motels aren't putting hot food out anymore right now. They give you like a little muffin in a bag or something and send you on your way. And I get it. You know, they got it. Everything trying to be healthy. And so he said, I'll take you to breakfast. And he took us to breakfast. And we sat in a restaurant and actually ate some fried eggs and sausage. Man, it was good. I hadn't eaten breakfast out in forever. And then he took us in, put us in the car and took us over to show us a building. We looked at that building with him. His church is in a cul-de-sac in a residential area. They get up to about 100 and come back down to 80. And get up to 100 and come back down to 80. And get up to 100 and come back down. They come back down now. And he's trying to get the church to see with a vision. It's this beautiful property, this roller skating rink. 18,000 and some odd square feet for $850,000. It's $50 a square foot. It's got a humongous parking lot. And we said, oh, brother. And I could just see in this man's heart, could hear in his voice, see in his eyes that filled up with tears as he sat in that parking lot. Here's a man who wants to see God move. God is not done. He is not done. And then he pulled up in front of this store and he said, now here's the drill. He said, a man came up to me last night and it gave me some money. He said, go buy those two pastors a suit. So he walked into this men's store. I mean, a men's store. I hadn't been in a men's store in years. It took tape measure out and measured us. And that was kind of embarrassing. But anyway, measured everything, you know. And I mean, they're measuring the length of all this. And it was about, you know, 10:30 on Tuesday morning. And the guy, his name was Ben Graham. It was the Graham family. Been in business since 1936, Brother Blaine. They're in Dubuque. Catholic. Strong Catholic. He liked it, and we cut up with him a little bit, and we thanked him. They had him tailored by 4 p.m. This is the suit that they bought then, this tie right here. And then, you know, so I get back home Thursday, the pastor of the church, he sends me a text. He said, guess who showed up in our church last night? The man who waited on y'all. The owner of the men's store. And he said, you know, He said, you know those two guys that you brought over today? They're just normal guys. Just normal guys. And we were. We're just cutting up. We were playing air guitar in there. And I mean, all kind of things. Just having fun. Just cutting up and just enjoying being together and having a good time. Strong Catholic. And I sent him a thank you letter. And I sent him the little book written by a pastor out east called Dunn. It's a tremendous book for religious people who are lost. Just a little booklet. I said, you strike me as a reader. Brother Mast, I told Brother Mast, Brother Mast sent me a picture this morning of a thank you note that the man at that store had written to him after he attended the service there on Wednesday night. And you know what? That man has not come to Christ yet. But in his words and in what he said and how God is moving, I believe that the Spirit of God is working on that man's heart, drawing him to Jesus. God is not done. If he's going to save people during the tribulation period, and he is, he will now. And he'll change lives now. He just needs a group of people who don't hunker down and say, oh God, we're being so persecuted. They're being so mean to us. Help us just to get through. He's looking for a group of people that'll get on their knees and recognize His sovereignty and say, God, we know You're still on the throne and You're still working. Move here. Move here. Brother Allen, another member of the church, went out this afternoon. Picked a street over here in Bradley to go down promoting VBS. Had no idea that they would run into a man whose name has been on our salvation prayer list for months. Got to open the scripture. And that man sat down and zoned in and locked in and never took his concentration off the Word of God as Brother Allen showed that man how to be saved. And after months of being on our prayer list, he trusted Christ this afternoon as his Savior. God is not done. Oh, God, shake us. God, move. Please. I'm not going to stick my thumb in my mouth and whine and cry because there might be people in this community who think we're the problem. You're the church running those buses. You're the church. You don't care about people. What do you mean we don't care about people? What do you mean? No. We're not going to hunker down in the corner and cry and weep. We just want to get together as a church family and pray, oh God, move. Use us. May your power fall upon us afresh and anew. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to speak with all boldness and talk with people. And folks, maybe this is not the day where you're going to go out and see 25 people immediately trust Christ as Savior. Maybe it's going to take some working and letter writing and sending books and praying for months to see somebody saved. But God is still at work. His hand is still moved. This was a prayer that shook a place. May God do it again. And if He's going to do it again, why not us? Why not here? Father in heaven, I love you tonight. My heart is challenged. There's still a work to do for you. There's still seed to sow. There's still a lost soul somewhere. There's still a Ben Graham whose family's had a clothing business for years and years and steeped in the Catholic faith and has yet to come to Christ that needs to be saved. God, would you please help us? Would you please increase our faith? Would you help us tonight to be like these men in Acts 4? Before their prayer persecuted, in their prayer, recognized your sovereignty and requested that you might move in their behalf, on their behalf again. And then, Lord, after their prayer, you answered, oh, God, hear us tonight, oh, God. Move again, please. Move in power. May we see people saved and baptized and added to the church and lives changed like this man who sat at the gate beautiful because Jesus came into his life. God, please help us to band together as a church and begin to pray as these people prayed. And, God, would you shake us again? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there anyone here tonight who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I know we have some for baptism and they should be moving to get in place for that right now while we wait. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And if that's you tonight, if you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now is the time to move. And if you're already saved, you're already baptized, I wonder tonight if the Spirit of God could slip by your heart and stir you like He has stirred me in these last few days. God's still on the throne. He's still at work. There's still power in His hand. Oh, God, move in our church again. Move. Shake us again. Not to be vindictive. Not to be ugly, full of hatred to people that hate us. But Lord, so we could see people saved. God, I wonder tonight if that would be your prayer. And you would leave this place with a burden maybe the next several days. And don't stop after the days, the weeks. Just pray, oh God, move in our church. Move in my life. Move. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Shaken. Prayer that shook a place. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the pianist begins to play. We're not in an auditorium, but I would encourage you to move this way if the Lord speaks to your heart tonight. This is a good place. It's a good time to begin to pray right now. If you can't kneel on the Terraflex, just stand. Maybe you can't make the journey from the back to the front here, but you can turn your own seat into an altar tonight. May God move. May God work. I don't know God's full plan. But I know what He's capable of doing for people who want to see it. Let's beg that from Him these next few weeks. God, move in our church again. Move. We've certainly enjoyed His hand of blessing. We've enjoyed His favor. We've enjoyed His grace, no doubt about it. It's not enough just to meet, fellowship, and enjoy each other's company. There's a lost and dying world that needs the witness of Christ, needs the power of Christ to change a life. Change a family. May God make it so. Ask God to fill you with His power in your ministry. Those of you that labor on Sunday afternoon, those that labor on the buses, those that teach the classes on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, ask God to fill you with His power. Let's seek His face. Let's not cower. Let's not whine and complain. Let's beg Him for His power, His hand to move again. The prayer. prayer that shook in place.